It's time for Breakfast with Bickle.
Score! Ryan Bickle!
Brought to you by MB Financial Bank. MB means business. Brian Bickle joins us now as the Hawks get ready for their final home game of the regular season and their final three games of the season. How are you, buddy?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Good morning. Nice return to the ice. Very aggressive, mixing it up. Had a goal the other night, setting up guys, making clean passes. I'm not sure you need the other guys on the ice.
Yeah, it's kind of we're simplifying. I think you know, missing Taze and Kane, you know, Johnny O'Dea last couple of games. We just need to simplify. We're not be looking for the pretty plays that, you know, those two can do, and just get pucks to the net, and it's been working. We're on a little streak right now. That's a good time to get some chemistry and get some momentum going in the playoffs.
Brian, what does it say about this team and the way it's been put together that you're able to lose your two big stars and these other guys, including yourself, for an extended period of time, and yet here you are with this late surge and three in a row?
Yeah, it shows our depth and what we threw a four lines that even guys coming up from Rockford with you know, Morin and having a goal and assist last game.
Yeah, Jeremy Morin, man, where'd he come from? He made a great game.
Yeah, he's been playing great. This must be the line that he's on with me and Regan. So,
I think it's probably you two guys, yeah, more than it. Morin. Yeah,
that's it.
So, no, he's been playing great, and we have guys stepping up. We're just simplifying, and I know you going into games, you've got a game plan. I think we executed really well.
Tomorrow night I will be live at the United Center starting at 5, taking you to 6 on WGN and 6:30 on the game on 87.7 FM. Got a Cubs game on GN tomorrow night. We've got Hawks on 87.7 a game, right? Is that right, Dave? I think that's
yes.
How it plays out.
We have actually Blackhawks pregame on the game at 87.7 the game at 6 o'clock, and then you'll be on till 6:30 on WGN when it's the Cubs and the Pirates.
So I got it almost completely right.
You almost had it right, except a little bit.
I wish I'd listened to Brian and we kept it simple.
So. That's right.
Now, do you start to anticipate the playoffs, Bick, at this time of the year? Or, you know, I mean, it's a little tough, isn't it, to stay in this mode without looking ahead to what's coming up?
No, you kind of get in the mode. I think, you know, our last, you know, say three games, it's kind of been playoff atmosphere. We played against St. Louis and we played Columbus and teams that, you know, are still fighting for the playoff spot. So it's been kind of getting to that feeling that it's playoff time already, and it's a good thing to get us rolling. And I know we don't want to have a first-round upset. We want to go far in the playoffs and, you know, ultimate goal to win again. So to get our mojo, we call it now, to get some confidence going to playoffs.
With that in mind, Brian, are you concerned? I mean, it's still going to be possible to catch Colorado here over the final three games, but you're 2 points behind them. They've got a game in hand. If you don't have home ice for that first series, I know Q said the other night, well, we'll deal with it at that time, but is that something you're overly concerned with?
No, I don't think so. They've been playing good hockey as of late. You know, they've had our number during the regular season, but you know, we need to win on the road to be successful. And if it, you know, takes the first round or even through the whole playoffs that we need to, it's important to have a team that can do that. And I think, you know, when we get our team rolling and getting all our pieces back together, we're going to be a hard team to lose four games. So, you know, we just need to play our game and everything will take care of it from there.
You watched the NCAA final last night?
I didn't. No, I'm not much of a basketball fan.
Ever?
But
I mean, I understand
ever.
That you wouldn't want to watch UConn, you know, Kentucky. But if Orono was in there, you'd probably watch that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, if we did have a basketball team.
Did you have a basketball team at high school?
No.
So
no.
Is basketball is popular in Canada?
Yeah, it's a little bit, but it was in a big high school. We didn't. I don't know. We just didn't have it. We played hockey.
With your height, you probably would have a really good strong. Do you think Bickle strong forward?
Yeah, power forward.
Yeah, muscling up. Yeah. Maybe points in the paint kind of guy.
I'm considered small. I know Rick Nash, he's only 6'5", and he looks tiny out there. So I would be a little guy out there. I'd be like the point guard shooting the threes.
Now, do you ever goof around? You ever shoot?
Yeah, we get out once in a while. It's for if the court's over the ice. I know if the Bulls are, you know, getting ready and they're done, we might go out for a couple shots, but show my skills to the guys. I know some guys are very uncoordinated at all, but it's funny to watch.
Well, it is funny when you see somebody that specializes in a particular sport that has absolutely no skill in another sport, because you think of top-flight professional athletes, Dave, and you think in general, well, they're going to be good at anything.
Right.
But you're not necessarily good at the stuff you don't do. And the amazing thing is when you see certain professional athletes who have tried to throw out the first pitch at a baseball game, and it just it's a disaster. Who's the guard for the Washington Wizards? He was the number one draft pick a couple of years ago. Fast kid. I can't think of his name. But, yeah, John Wall. John Wall's first pitch is one of the worst first pitches I've ever seen. So of all the Blackhawks, who's the best hoops guy?
I don't know. I couldn't really tell you.
Who's the worst?
I say all the European players. Like the Swedes.
You see the Swedes and the Northern Europeans trying to throw up basketball. Yeah, it's probably pretty entertaining. Did we lose Bick?
I thought we lost him.
Sound like a click. We lost Bick. Mm-hmm. All right, well, you know, Reinsdorf cut us off. He said, don't be trying to get me any more situations with the Bulls. I got plenty of guys. But anyway, Brian Bickle in the Blackhawks, and I'll be out there tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. And then from 5 to 5.15, I'll be on both stations. From 5.15 to 5.20, I'll be on the mix.
Are you going
to
be on the game?
From 5.25 to 6.10, I'll be on, am I what?
Are you going to be on the game at the same time?
I would think, wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I be?
A simulcast?
I don't know. Did anybody tell Harry and Spike that?
Harry'd love a night off. No, I assume that I'll be on, at an appropriate time later in my career.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, so you'll be on from 5 until 6:30.
Let me write this down because it's important for me to know this.
You're on from 5.
Oh, by the way, Mark DiCarlo's going to come by.
Oh, good.
You don't even like Mark DiCarlo.
No, I like Mark.
What do you have against Mark DiCarlo?
I have nothing against
really
Mark
nice
DiCarlo.
Guy.
He's a very good guy.
He's a good guy.
It's Andrea has a problem with him.
I can't wait till
I
Mark
like
DiCarlo
him.
That you don't even like him. All right, so I'm going to be at 5 till what?
5 till 6:30 on 720 WGN.
Well, that's this station.
Yes.
Okay, that's good to know. And then what happens?
And then at 6:30, we will go to Cubs baseball.
But I'll be at the Blackhawks game.
Well, yeah, but we'll be going to Cubs baseball. The Blackhawks pregame will start at 6 o'clock on our snot-nosed little brother, 87.7 The Game.
All right, so I won't be on a game at all.
Well, unless not to my knowledge.
In your mind.
Unless I didn't know you were going to be on the game.
Unless there's like an incident at the United Center where I get on the ice and Troy and John have to talk about me.
That's possible.
Okay.
What the hell's going on out here?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
they're starting to figure out who the new Dave might be. All right, what's the short list of Letterman replacements?
The newest name on the short list is Neil Patrick Harris.
That could be good.
That would be really good.
He's, I like him.
Incredibly talented. They asked him if he was interested. He's working in a musical on Broadway right now, and he said he's completely focused on that at the moment.
But he could do it. Broadway's across the street.
It's literally across the street.
Yeah, so you could do Dave from 4:30 to 5:30.
Yep.
And then, you know,
be on stage by 8 o'clock.
Grab a snack.
Yep.
Head over to a show.
Yep. Have a power bar. Get on stage and, you know, show them what you can do. Dave's not even gone till next year, so the show, you know, probably he'll probably be out of Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which is the show that he's in right now. But he says
Dave's in Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
Well, he's got to line up something for the retirement
years. Yeah, that's a good point.
Neil Patrick Harris says he loves CBS. He loves their president, Les Moonves.
Suck up.
And says it's something he would think about. So he's on the list right now.
Who else?
Tina Fey is.
I would love that. We need two things in this country: a female president that's not Hillary Clinton, and Tina Fey in late night.
Who would you like for it to be president?
Tina Fey.
Okay, well, that's the best of both worlds.
There you go.
That would be the best of both worlds. Stephen Colbert, not in his Comedy Central character, but just as the brilliant comedian that he is, also being bandied about right now. Conan's still on the list. Chelsea Handler is still on the list. Who else? Jay Leno's name keeps coming up.
Chelsea Handler. I'll do anything I can to stop that.
Yeah, I'm going to have Channel 2 removed from my television set if that happens.
I don't even want to accidentally surf
over that should that happen. So those are the names that are being bandied about for late night. Who do you think should be?
I've thought about this for a week, and the one name that continues to pop into my head is Disappointing Kevin. I think his time has come.
You know, it's that theory of if you watch a show like Late Night with Disappointing Kevin, you feel better about yourself.
It really has a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Paul Stanley from Kiss.
Oh, this is a crazy story.
Says that the other bandmates in Kiss are anti-Semitic. Now, for a guy that's worked with them for 40 years, seems like it's odd that he just noticed.
Well, he's saying not all of them, because Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons themselves are Jewish, so.
But you could be an anti-Semitic Jew.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. You could be self-hating. Yeah. But he is saying in his new memoir that comes out today that his former bandmates, Ace Frehley and Peter Criss, were the ones that were anti-Semitic. They are no longer part of the group.
That's great.
But he says that Frehley had a collection of Nazi memorabilia, and that those two resented Stanley and Simmons. Because they're Jewish and they're trying to sabotage the band to bring them down.
This reminds me of the great controversy when we found out that ABBA was anti-Swedish. So
anti-herring. Remember that big anti-herring campaign?
They hated herring. How could you be ABBA?
Doesn't this remind you guys of Journey? Remember when Steven Perry said he never felt like part of the band?
Yeah.
After 30 years.
Yeah. After 30 years. Kirstie Alley, how many mulligans do you get with Jenny Craig before they go, don't come back here?
I think they're happy to have her on, because when she was with them several years ago, she lost something like 64 pounds. She's put 34 of that back on again, and she's going back in. Her exact quote was, "It's not like I'm circus fat," which is pretty descriptive. That's her quote.
Does she know the members of Kiss?
That's her quote. She says she just needs to lose about 30 pounds.
And let's end on a sad note. What's your Mickey Rooney story?
Oh, this is horrible. Well, first of all, there's a site that's revealing that Mickey Rooney died broke. That, you know, after all his acclaim, after all his stardom, would go to these autograph memorabilia shows and sell autographs so he could make $5,000, $10,000, a little bit here, a little bit there. That was his sole source of income. In fact, they say that he was scheduled to do one of these shows at age 93.
Wow.
And in bad health in a couple of weeks in order to bring some money in. But the even sadder part of this story now is that apparently he died. He hasn't seen his wife of 35 years since a year ago, last April, that he essentially died alone, that he has been estranged from his wife because there's supposed to have been a huge split in their family. Mickey Rooney accusing one of her sons, a stepson, of taking money. So he was staying with another stepson. But just the whole thing was horrible.
Stinks to high heaven, as Mickey Rooney's generation would have said.
Here's how Jan Rooney, the wife of 35 years, found out that her husband was dead when she got a call from TMZ.com asking for her reaction.
Ugh.
So just a horrible, horrible ending. Glad I could perk up your morning a little bit.
I'm really glad I asked about that one last.
Yeah.
That's our friend Dean Richards. Dean, go forth and prosper.
Thank you so much. I'm doing my fingers that way. And you know which way I'm talking about.
Live from the city that works.
I said it before and I'll say it again.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while. You
could miss it.
On 720 WGN.
How about Anderson Cooper replacing Letterman?
That'd be a great idea if he were willing.
I'd watch that. If not for The Perfect Stranger, of course, is a book that was put together by our friend Steve Alexander and many others, including Diane and other people. Heartwarming stories from the Boston Marathon and the CNN special report, The Survivor Diaries, will air tonight. Is it tonight? Tonight at 9 o'clock our time. Anderson Cooper joins us now from New York, where he's been doing a lot of interviews, and he's probably tired of talking. How you doing, man?
I'm not tired. Steve, how's it going? Good morning.
Nice to have you on. You know, this is a wonderful piece of programming, and my only hope is there's no breaking news in the middle of it so we can actually get through it.
I think it'll be okay. I think we'll end up, we'll be able to air it.
Now, you know, of all the things you've done over the course of your career, because whenever the S hits the fan, somebody says, fly Anderson into the middle of it. does this one rank in your top five, your top 10, as far as, you know, moving stories and what happened and impactful?
You know, this is a story about a woman named Adrienne Haslett Davis who had her lower left leg blown off during the Boston bombing. And I'd interviewed her just in the days right after the bombing in her hospital room. And that started, you know, us thinking and her thinking about sort of following her over the course of this year and seeing what a real survivor goes through. To learn how to walk again. In her case, she's a dance instructor, and she's determined to learn how to dance again. And so, you know, for me, it's incredibly inspiring. And I think for anybody who watches tonight, you're just going to end up being incredibly inspired and moved by what she's been through and also just inspired in your own life. I mean, the stuff that survivors from the bombing have faced this past year, the hurdles they've had to overcome, you know, learning how to walk again, in her case, learning how to dance again, it's incredibly moving, and she's definitely, you know, certainly one of the most moving people that we've been able to follow. And to be able to follow someone for a whole year like this is great.
It's a big deal to ask somebody to open their lives up to you like that, right?
It is. It is. I mean, you know, to me, it's a big deal anytime I'm in a hospital room and I'm asking somebody questions. That's a big deal. Anytime, you know, you're coming to people at a really vulnerable time in their life, and it's something I take really seriously, and it's something I'm very respectful of, and try to be, you know, very careful in what I ask and how I approach it. And you know, for Adrienne to agree to, you know, not only let us follow her for this past year, but also to document her own, you know, times. There's times when our cameras aren't going to be there, and she would take a little iPhone and just start talking to the camera. And, you know, and she really wanted people to see not just the high points, but the low points as well. And what, you know, we all talk about Boston Strong, but you really – you know, not every day are you Boston Strong, and there's some days you don't feel that. And it's in those days that, you know, Adrienne would pick up the camera and talk to the camera, and she says it helps her get through it. And she felt it was important to let people in on that experience.
CNN special report, The Survivor Diaries, tonight at 9 on CNN. You know, there's a lot of interesting, and I mean this complimentary, in a complimentary fashion, a lot of interesting programming on CNN now. Obviously, the Allstate presents Chicagoland, yeah. I think is an interesting piece of program. I'm not crazy about watching Anthony Bordeaux or Pinot Noir, or whatever the hell his name is, going out.
You know, I actually like that show. I could care less about food, but I'm interested. I like all those places he goes, and he seems like a real guy.
He tells the backstories, too, of how they got to be where they want to be.
I was one of the people that was dead set against CNN doing all this experimenting, and now I'm fully on board. I love the documentary work you guys are doing, and I love the fact that you're on, and, of course, if there's a light on, Wolf thinks it's a camera. He'll run across six lanes of traffic to get to it. But, you know, I mean, I like what CNN's doing.
I like the documentaries, too. You know, I mean, I think, obviously, news is still what CNN's DNA is, and I believe very strongly in going into the front lines of where news is happening around the world, but look, I think there's a wide range of what's interesting, and I do think a lot of the documentaries have been really interesting.
Now, here's the thing, and I don't mean to put you on the spot here,
sure.
But this breaking news stuff, which you guys have been taking so much heat over, you know, I know a little bit about conversations that go on in newsrooms, and the ratings have been great because, and frankly, I think CNN deserves a lot of credit because if CNN hadn't been talking about Flight 370 as much as they have for the past month, this story would have, in large ways, gone away. And we still don't know a lot of things about it. So while I think CNN deserves a ton of credit for it, where are you on calling everything breaking news? Anderson, did I lose you? Mr. Cooper?
You made
Mr.
him Cooper? Mad.
Anderson? Breaking news, we've lost Anderson Cooper. Breaking news, we have lost Anderson Cooper. He's still on the phone, dude. Let me put him on hold. Pick up the phone. Well, let me try it again. Hey, dude, you with us? No, he's just gone. Like, the line went dead. You think Jeff Zucker was able to kill the line?
He and Bickle both.
They don't have problems like this at CNN.
First Bickle. Well, actually, they do.
Yeah,
first Bickle.
No, just Channel 9.
First Bickle, now this. It says he's still on the phone. You're listening to an exclusive interview with Anderson Cooper in silence. So, anyway. Well, I thought it went well for a while.
It went. The first part was really.
It was really solid. Felt like we nailed the majority of it.
I think so.
Breaking news here. Part of the desk just fell on Dave.
Sorry, I spilled my coffee, so.
You pick up the phone, dude, and see if he's back. I don't know. I mean, he's like locked in some. You think Jeff Zucker broke into his hotel room and took his phone away?
Do you think he's doing one of those? Oh, I'll pretend I can't hear him.
A quiet contest?
What's the story, Kevin? We have him, we don't have him. Well, not interesting.
It was the first part of that interview was really good, though.
Well, we'll try to get Anderson Cooper back. You know what? Maybe we could find him if. You know, we might. Do we have one of those things that you could drop in the water and see if he's pinging?
Oh, ping.
It turns out it's our technical issue. It was not Jeff Zucker shutting the phone off as soon as I asked Anderson Cooper that question. Hey, man, welcome back. Thank you.
I know. That was suspicious. I thought, like, whoa, did the NSA cut off our phone or something?
That was a little odd. Anyway, where are you on this breaking news stuff? Because in the newsroom, it's got to drive you a little nuts that everything's breaking news.
You know, look, I understand the criticism. All I control is what's on my show, and when there's news that's new information, I feel comfortable using the breaking news banner. But I get, you know, the concern that it's overused, and I think it is overused in a lot of places. I don't have control over, you know, other people's shows. I have control over my show.
Well, I've got some breaking news right now. Who's got a funnier laugh, you or Maria Menounos?
We both have terrible laughs. So
terrible is in the ears of the beholder. Now,
well, I think both are embarrassing. I find hers grating and annoying, but I find mine, embarrassing. And I have the laugh. I have the sense of humor of a 12-year boy with the laugh of a 12-year-old girl. So, it's a toss-up. I don't know. I've actually been on a show with her where we both laughed, and I got to say. People were running out of the room. It was so irritating.
Well, let's not do it together, but just because, you know, I like you, and, you know, this is what friends do. play me a clip of Maria Menounos, Kev, if you would.
Wow.
Right, that's actually Maria. Now give me a little bit of Anderson. I think
honestly, is more annoying, but that's just me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll take some votes. We'll get back to you. But anyway, let's... Okay. Let's mention again, tonight it's at 9 o'clock. Make sure you watch in behalf of an incredibly inspiring story out of the Boston Marathon. Anderson Cooper, thanks for calling back, man.
Well, let me know the results of that vote. I am curious.
Yeah, I'll text you. Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, dude.
See you, bye. All right. So vote on who has the more annoying laugh. And good of Anderson Cooper to get back in touch with us because it turns out it was our phone problem. So. Oh, now you show up. We need you running on a treadmill. The squirrel's back.
That was the chipmunk.
He dropped. Dave flinched. It's the chipmunk in his house. It's here.
You know, Kevin, disappointing Kevin. Great athletes, Kevin. I don't know if you know this, are made, not born. Takes a lot of hard work and preparation to be the best. Chevy Silverado. This is the little hamster. That's not a hamster. This is the little hamster's truck.
The nut cutting.
And 13 million miles of vigorous testing. I never finished the Anderson Cooper story.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Anderson Cooper and Maria Menounos, who has the more annoying laugh? Or?
Oh, boy.
It's nice. The guy calls back. He spends 5 minutes calling back, and I got to bring up his laugh.
It's kind of a cute laugh.
It's more of a giggle.
Yeah.
I think Maria Menounos is way worse.
I think so, too. But she's Greek, so I gotta stick with my girl. I'm going Anderson.
And Anderson Cooper?
It's infectious.
Texter is at 24/7/20 or 312-981-7200. Whose laugh makes you want to punch your radio more? So,